In Iceland, a trial has begun to decide whether the former Prime Minister was criminally negligent during the global financial crisis. The charges include that Gerhard failed to protect Iceland from grave financial danger. Well, I'm joined in the studio now by our business editor, Peter Ryan, to tell us about the case. Peter, it seems extraordinary that the former Prime Minister can be charged with criminal negligence over the banking failure. What are the chances of this case succeeding?
Well, the case is extraordinary, Eleanor, and it's actually the first time that a special court that was designed in 1905 has been set up to prosecute and try ministers for violations or alleged violations such as these. And Mr. Hartke has been charged on six counts of failing to protect Iceland from grave financial danger. And as we know, the Icelandic economy was pretty much brought to its knees and beyond as a result of the global financial meltdown and unethical lending practices. They say that further that the former Prime Minister should have forced Iceland's debt-laden banks to reduce their balance sheets in the lead-up to the crisis, and they were very, very heavy in real estate assets and complex financial instruments, including subprime mortgage products, and his failure to do that had really sent what had been a $13 billion economy to the brink of insolvency. And as history now shows, Iceland's economy had to be bailed out by the International Monetary Fund. And this was in the early stages of the crisis, well before Greece, Spain and Portugal became household words as far as sovereign debt goes.
Well, obviously he wouldn't be the most popular man in Iceland, but will he be able to get a fair trial given the public backlash?
Well, he is the only politician to go on trial, even though several former executives of banks have been investigated and some have been sent to jail. Mr. Hartke was forced to stand down 2 years ago after violent street protests, and actually the parliament had a vote and agreed to use this special court to press charges in relation to the meltdown. But the lawyers have pointed to what they regard as obsolete laws and point out that delays in getting this matter to trial violates the former Prime Minister's legal rights, and they point to constitutional issues and also the European Convention on Human Rights. And legal observers say, because of the obsolete nature of the law, that the case will be hard to prove, particularly in light of what is now known about the banking crisis in Iceland and in other countries, and that the blame can't necessarily be laid at the feet of a single politician, but no doubt lots of other politicians around the world will be observing this very closely.
Will be an interesting case to watch. But look, back to the Australian economy, there was some encouraging news on the housing market today.
Yes, there's been a bigger than expected rise in the number of home loans taken out in April, and owner-occupied housing finance rose 4.8%, and the market had been expecting a rise of just 2%. Now, this comes off recent soft news about the economy, the contraction of 1.2% of growth in the first quarter of this year, but also a pretty weak retail sales sector and soft job ads. And as we now know, the Reserve Bank left interest rates on hold at 4.75%, mainly because of the fresh evidence that the economy is not going as strongly as was once thought.
Well, interestingly, the Reserve Bank Board changed its tone about the inflation threat yesterday. How significant is that for future rate rises?
Well, the Reserve Bank, in the lead-up to this announcement, confused many economists because they had been very bullish about the threat of inflation, had been flagging consistently that rates would need to go up at one time or another. But the June statement out yesterday was much softer than expected, and it does mean that a rate rise now appears to be back to being later rather than sooner than what we had been talking about before.
Peter Ryan, our business editor, thank you.